Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and the most expensive real estate deal in history seems to be going sour. Are you sad about this? In 2006, Tishman Speyer and BlackRock Realty bought Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village, the massive rent-stabilized housing project on the Lower East Side, for $5.4 billion, with big plans to turn moderate-income housing into shiny new market-rate condos for sale for big profits and rental at market rates. And oops, look what happened to the market. Yeah, we know what's happened to the market. So Stuytown and Peter Cooper Village are now worth half that. Their rental income only covers half their debt payments, and they are treading water. Front page story in the New York Times today says they may default on the loan altogether by December or February or so. So joining us now to talk about the trouble with Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village and what it means is New York Times reporter Charles Bagley, who wrote the story. Hi, Charles. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And just clear me up on one fact in the intro that I might have actually gotten wrong. Did they buy Stuytown to turn it into condos for sale or just market rate rentals?
Well, I think principally for market rate rentals. There may have been a very long-term plan, say, to convert Peter Cooper Village, which has slightly larger apartments than Stuyvesant Town,
right,
into condos at some future date, but certainly not anytime soon.
And they were counting on being able to deregulate many of the units so that when people moved out, they would renovate to a certain degree, that the law allows for converting them to market rate rentals. But that proved harder than they thought. Can you explain why that is?
Well, two things. One is their business plan was dependent on ever-escalating rents in New York City, that the demand for housing would push rents continually upward. And that sort of flies in the face of both real estate and capitalism, which is always sort of a boom and bust situation. And the idea was that as they apartments vacated or they pushed tenants out who they said were illegally occupying rent-regulated apartments, they would renovate them, make them really nice, say $40,000-$50,000 renovation. Then they would get above the $2,000 a month threshold, and then the sky was the limit. So actually, after they bought it, the people that took the biggest hit were the market rate tenants, because the notices that were coming out, rent, you know, lease notices at the time, were offering 20% and 30% increases on the prior year's rent.
Because those are the ones who they legally could jack it up that much on, right?
Yes.
They were market rate renters.
So they, yes. And they had a very aggressive plan to try and turn over 10% of the units a year to convert them from rent-regulated to free market rents. And, of course, that was much faster than had been done in the past. And, number one, they weren't able to do it as quickly as they had planned. Number two, we went into a recession. And real estate
values went down.
Right. Now, you got to wonder that even if we hadn't gone into a full-blown recession, would this deal have gotten into trouble? It was a highly speculative situation. And they didn't plan on making money for probably 3, 4, 5 years.
Uh-huh. Until they could create enough turnover.
Yes.
In the rent-stabilized population.
Yes. They expected to have half the units at market rate by 2011.
And as we sit here today, I believe they only have converted about 4,000 out of the 11,000 to market rate units. But that's getting there, actually. I mean, that's an outrage, I'm sure, to people who live in Stuytown and Cooper Village, that over a third of their apartments have already been flipped to market rate.
Well, when they bought at the end of 2006, 28% of the units were market rate.
I see, because that had been happening gradually since the 1997 law allowed it, right?
Yes. Well, I think in the 3 years prior, MetLife had gone on a campaign.
The old owners.
Yes. They were renovating the apartment, and truth be told, it was all part of a strategy to sell the property.
Right, to make it look like it was worth more and get this $5 billion plus windfall from the next buyer, which turned out to be Tishman Speyer. We've got a very short time for calls from Peter, Cooper Village residents and Stuyvesant Town residents. Cooper Village and Stuytown folks only, call us up right now. What's your reaction to this happening? Do you want to see the owner of your apartments going into default? Are you feeling a little schadenfreude right now for these moguls who own your apartments? Or are you like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to maintenance around here? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. But really, we have just a few minutes, so call up and you'll get right on from Stuytown and Cooper Village, 212-433-9692 for Charles Bagley from the New York Times. And Charles, there's a very interesting wrinkle to this story taking place today in State Appeals Court in Albany, where the owners are going to try to get a lower court decision overturned. That decision would force them to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in rent rebates to thousands of tenants who have had their rates increased, their rents increased. Why would that be?
Well, what the argument is, after Tishman Speyer bought it, a number of market rate tenants filed a lawsuit saying that under state law, they were prohibited from converting the apartments to market rate because they were getting a tax break, basically, under the city's J51 housing program. This was a program that was designed to encourage landlords to reinvest in their properties. So in return for a tax break, they would put some money in and fix the roof, point the brick, renovate the lobbies, put in new elevators or whatever. And
right. So in other words, it may not have been legal for them to flip these stabilized apartments to market rates for these 4,000 tenants, yes, as it was for other landlords to do that.
Yes. I mean, depending on how the court rules, this would affect landlords across the city.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's probably mainly in Manhattan, mm-hmm, that you have, once rent-regulated apartments that would be above $2,000 a month rent. But
that's the level that let them go to market.
It has very wide implications.
Yes. All right, let's get some calls in here. Matt in Cooper Village. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention a few things. One is just, yes, the rents went up year over year almost 20%, but then actually this year, interesting, was able to negotiate it down almost $400.
So you're a market rate renter in Peter Cooper Village, correct?
Yes.
May I ask what your rent is for what size apartment?
900 square feet. It was 3,300 last year, but this year we were able to get it down to like 2,800 and change.
Is that two bedroom?
One bedroom.
One bedroom at 900 square feet.
And just the one complaint is that because it used to be that there was only one person allowed per lease, now they allow roommates, and so the demographic has shifted from working professionals and families to, it's basically a dormitory now, more so Stuytown, but Peter Cooper as well, which was kind of a little bit more up, I guess.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so more NYU students and stuff like that. Charles, that's an interesting trend. I don't know if it's an outrage or not, but having these apartments being, chopped up, permanently or temporary, so young professionals or young people can live there and share.
Well, it was a way of getting people to pay a higher rent. The more people you can shoehorn into an apartment, the easier it is to share the cost of a $3,000 or $4,000 apartment.
Rebecca in Stuytown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, thanks so much. I have a question. Is it true that if the landlord is bankrupt is there a hardship provision where the rent stabilization rules would no longer be applicable? I mean,
Charles, do you know?
Well, if the whole thing were to go bankrupt, I guess that anything could happen. But that, as far as I know, that's not happened in New York City, or at least it's not very common. Probably what will happen is that the partnership that bought the property will be negotiating with the lenders, and what they're trying to do is negotiate their payments down, and they would be required to put in money. But you have to wonder, for the people, the investors that put money into this, whether it be there's a Florida pension fund that's already written there, I think it was $250 million investment down to zero. Mm. The CalPERS put a lot of money in.
The California pension system.
Right. And their investment is underwater today. Why would they put additional money in?
So what's the implication? And by the way, lots of people are calling up to say it's turned from a family-oriented place to a transient-oriented place with a lot of sharing of the rents by people who come for a little while. But the implications for the tenants, whoever they may be, if they have to default or restructure in this way?
Well, in the immediate, there will probably not be a sudden cataclysmic situation. I think what people will worry about is that if there is some sort of limbo period where it's unclear who owns it or they're waiting for a sale, the fear would be that there'd be a lot of deferred maintenance. You know, the elevators wouldn't get fixed as quickly as they used to be fixed, or the grounds wouldn't get picked up, the laundry room wouldn't be cleaned, or something like that. And then the buildings would deteriorate. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that is what people are worried about. That's what the city would be worried about.
Is there a city role to play? We just have 20 seconds, but is there an HPD or something role to play? Tishman Speyer is so connected politically. You know, Elliot Spitzer, when he was running for governor, came on this show and said, oh, don't worry about Stuytown being sold. That company is great people. They care about moderate income housing. maybe not. But are they connected enough that in 10 seconds, Charles, the government would step in and help it be maintained decently for the tenants?
Well, the city's housing commissioner said that they're keeping a very sharp eye on the situation, and they're trying to figure out how they can preserve the affordable housing there.
Yes.
But they have no intention of bailing out speculative investors.
Charles Bagley from the New York Times, his front page article today on Stuytown. Thank you very much.